Jesus series. So, man, we've been enjoying doing this so far. We have talked about the birth of Christ, and today we're going to talk about some really cool stuff as well. But if you were here this last weekend, the 23rd, the 24th, Christmas Eve, you were part of something pretty special. And I hope you had a great Christmas. I know it's already been set up here, but how many of y'all just had a remarkable Christmas? You're never going to forget it. Just kind of a cool thing. Good, good, good. Some of it kind of average. Some of y'all going, man, I'm so glad it's over with. I never want that to happen. But guess what? New Year's is tomorrow night. Are y'all ready for 2019? Are y'all ready for 2019? All right, good, 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 good. That's awesome. Hey, King is here. The King is here. We've celebrated that. We had our Royal Christmas Eve services last Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. We kind of talked about that, and we had over 2,000 people show up here at CCW Sunday and Monday night. Yep, it was a great weekend. And I wanted to take a second just to say thank you to everyone who participated in that. I mean, our band, worship band, some of them were here, all five services, given all they've got. Up in the sound booth, the audiovisual team, you guys were here doing a great job behind the scenes. Our ushers, our greeters, our service team, so many of you participated in those services, and I just appreciate it. Linwood and his team who hung these banners up. You know, if you remember, we came in last Sunday, and there was a manger here, and then come in Christmas Eve night, and it was like a royal throne room. Just a great, great weekend. So, and I especially want to say thank you to you guys for showing up, for being here to celebrate and to worship and to bring in Christmas Eve and to celebrate the King, the birth of our King. As we talked about the King being here now and him being born, today we're going to talk about the baptism of the King. And speaking of baptism, I need to let you know that this morning, Mark and Jane Preston became members of CCW, but on Christmas Eve morning, Mark and Jane gave their life to Jesus and were baptized into Christ. You can see their pictures there. If you know Mark and Jane, you can celebrate with them. Yep. And praise the Lord, Mark and Jane were number 69 and number 70 for our baptisms in 2018. So praise God for what he's doing there. 70 people baptized into Christ this year. And the year's not over yet. All right, still got today and, you know, tomorrow. I'm just saying, you know, if maybe there's someone here today that has yet, you know, just kind of waiting to give Jesus their life once and for all and forever and to be baptized into him. You know, this whole idea of baptism, this biblical, beautiful, necessary part of the Christian experience can sometimes be a controversial topic. I mean, what is baptism? I mean, what's it all about? How is it done? Why should I be baptized? Maybe you've asked those questions. Or do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? You know, we won't be able to answer all of those questions today, but it's a really good thing. We really work hard to meet you where you're at and answer some of those questions. In fact, just around the corner, January 27th, is our Foundations class. It's our What We Believe class. I want to invite you to come if you've never been or maybe come and kind of brush up on that. January 27th, our Foundations 1 class. There are people here who would love to talk with you, study with you. There are some handouts at our Next Steps station out front just to help answer some of the questions that we won't get to today when it comes to baptism. And I also want to remind you that in your bulletins, there are some sermon notes there with lots of scriptures and resources as well. But really, really the best place to start, especially when we talk about baptism, is the Bible. It's the Bible and especially the baptism of Jesus, King Jesus. Now to catch up on the life of Christ really very quickly, he was born. We celebrated that last week. Since then, he and his family, Mary, Joseph, they've escaped to Egypt to escape Herod and being killed. Jesus has been dedicated as a child at age 12. We see him in the temple teaching. And he has grown in wisdom and stature, as the Bible tells us, as a carpenter's son for about the next 18 years until the age of about 30 when Jesus gets baptized. Now, the baptism of Jesus is so important of an event that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record it in the biographies of Jesus in your New Testament, all four of them. We're going to focus today on the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and we're going to see very clearly how the baptism of Jesus shows that he truly is the King of Kings. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 17. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, and rather than read it to you today, I want you to see it in living color. So if you will, direct your attention to the screens and watch Matthew 3, verses 1 through 17.
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Matthew 3, verses 1 through 17. What a great story, an episode, an event in the life of Jesus where John the Baptist delivers this prophecy of the king, the prophecy proclaiming that the king is here and he is Jesus. You know, for the past two Sundays, we've kind of looked at how the Old Testament pointed to the coming Messiah, how Jesus would be the king, the Messiah. And then the New Testament proves to us that Jesus is that king, the King of Kings, and how to live for him. So Jesus is the center of all that. The Old Testament pointing to him, the New Testament leading out from his life and teaching us how to live for him. And the biographies of Jesus, so cool. And in this particular event, we meet this revolutionary prophet, this man, John the Baptist, who is Jesus's older cousin, not to be confused with the Apostle John, who wrote the book of John. Totally different guy, totally different John, two Johns here. John the Baptist was the miracle baby of Elizabeth and Zechariah. We learned about that in the Christmas story, whom the Old Testament actually predicted would come to announce the Messiah's arrival to the world. And Matthew 3 tells us about the prophecy of the king. You heard it there. It said, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, change, turn around, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 3, John says, I'm the one who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. I'm the one, I'm the voice calling out from the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the king. Prepare the way. Make straight paths for him. John is preparing people for the king's arrival, for his coming kingdom, and to get ready for him, they needed to change, to repent. See, the Jewish people and their leaders, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees who John preached to, they had been drifting from God, and they really needed to turn back to the Lord. For about 400 years, they had been or become these religious runaways, defectors from the faith. They had gone pagan and forgotten their roots. And John's prophecy here is clear. Get right. The king is coming. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. Verse 11 says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. In fact, his sandals I'm not even worried to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He says his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn. He's going to burn up the chaff, all the bad stuff. He's going to burn it up with an unquenchable fire. John is saying, make way for the king, because he is coming, and he is coming with power and might. And when he gets here, he is going to clean house. Messiah words. And when Jesus gets here, oh, when Jesus comes, you know how he gets here. Woo, did you see that? He arrives with humility, humbly. Jesus arrives on the scene in a humble, unexpected way. Verse 13 and 14, Jesus comes to Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. You've got to know Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized that day. Then you know he could have come in fire, he could have come in a chariot, he could have come in a helicopter if he wanted to. He could have come with an army, an entourage, he could have come any on the clouds if he wanted to. But he comes alone to the cold Jordan River, to his cousin, in front of a crowd, into the water, in humility. And John is against it. He says, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. You see, John knows who Jesus is. He knows that he is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Jesus had never sinned. He doesn't need to repent. Jesus does not need to be baptized. In fact, Jesus could have taken over the whole show right then and there. After all, he was the King of Kings. We learned about his birth last week. He was royalty from day one, and he had come to rule and reign his kingdom. But yet Jesus humbles himself and asks John to baptize him. Just like every other person who was there at the River Jordan that day. King Jesus, the man who was fully God, in that moment, humbly does what God will ask every person who will ever follow him to humbly do. Get in the water and submit to him. And in Jesus' case that day, it was his destiny. The destiny of the king. We see the prophecy. We see the destiny. Why was Jesus baptized if he was perfect? I mean, why is he doing this? I mean, he didn't need to get right with God. He didn't need to repent. He was God. So what was his reason? Well, look at Matthew 3:15. Jesus replies, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this. And here it is. To fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. That's why. But what does this mean? Oh, what does this even mean? It means that King Jesus is fulfilling his royal destiny. See, in the Bible, baptism is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for suffering and death and burial. And in Jesus' case, and we know this on the other side of the cross and the empty tomb, resurrection. By being baptized, Jesus is beginning his ultimate mission towards his destiny. You see, Christ would indeed suffer. And he would die and he would be buried and he would rise again from the dead to bring righteousness to the world, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus would take on the sin of everyone who is unrighteous. And his death and his resurrection would make everyone in his kingdom, past, present, future, righteous before God. This simple act of baptism showed that Jesus was all in on this mission. He was taking his destiny on. And as a king who was responsible for his people, he was doing so. Righteousness would be fulfilled for all who would become part of his kingdom, for all who would get in the water just as he did and die to their old life and rise again to follow him as king, to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his destiny. You see, for Jesus, things would never be the same again. In fact, for all of us, for the entire history of the world, things would never be the same again. You see, after this day, Jesus's public ministry would begin. We learn about this from the Apostle Peter. In the book of Acts, at least twice, Peter refers to this moment, the baptism of Jesus and his time with John the Baptist, as the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. We see this in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 10. Jesus was all in after this. In fact, it began with an act of surrender. Jesus humbly stepping foot, not only into the water that day, but into his destiny, from being a carpenter to being the King of Kings. And when he did, oh man, when he did, something amazing happened, something unprecedented. God showed up. God showed up. And when I say God, I mean all of him. God shows up to tell the world that his son is the king. All of it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that in the story? The Trinity shows up. They are all there at Jesus' baptism. We see it in Mark and Luke and John as well. Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he comes up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opens up and he sees the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending on him like a dove and lighting him up. And a voice from heaven, the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love and with whom I am well pleased." The Trinity is there. God is there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, man, this is hard to get our heads around. It's almost impossible to explain. And I promise there are some good books and resources out there. And we could talk about this all day long, but we're not going to do that right now. But we do need to go there for just a moment, briefly, because this event, the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there, proves and shows that Jesus is being inaugurated as the King of Kings, the Trinity. It's this biblical concept of one God who exists in three persons, who have existed eternally as one in community together. It's God's identity. And all through the Bible, it's described in three forms, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. And the context determines which term for God is used: Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I know that this is really tough, and this illustration is kind of weak, but it's kind of all, how do we even understand this? And I thought, well, somebody taught me this, and I thought I'd pass it along to you. Maybe you've heard it before, but how do three things actually be referred to as one, and one be referred to as three? And y'all know what this is, right? What is this? It's water, okay? The chemical compound is H2O. Good, y'all went to school, all right? In essence, water is H2O. No matter what form it comes in, water is water. Water is H2O. But yet, water can take three different forms, right? The first form, of course, is what? Liquid. Now, if I were to take this liquid, this H2O, and freeze it, what would it become? Ice. Form number two. What if I were to put it on heat? It would become steam, it would become vapor, right? It's still H2O, one essence, one chemical, yet taking three forms: liquid, ice, and vapor. In the same way, sort of, we can think of God as this, as one thing, one form, one essence, but yet in three forms. We see him as the Father. We see him taking the human form in the Son. And we see his power and his presence, not only around us, but in our lives, in the Holy Spirit of God. Three, yet one. God in three forms. And they all show up at one time here at Jesus' baptism as he is declared King. King of kings, a king who is fulfilling all righteousness for God's people, a king of a new kingdom, a king of a new nation, a king of a new law, a new covenant. The king is here, and that king is God's son, whom God says he loves and whom he is well pleased, King Jesus. And here's the thing, I love this. When God shows up publicly at your baptism, when you live a perfect life before people, when you do miracles and you teach and you love and you live perfectly, when you suffer and die a brutal public death, and when you rise from the dead after 3 days and then live to walk on the earth publicly for over a month in front of anyone who'll see, you get to be king. You get to be king. And there's only one person that's ever done that. And his name is Jesus. King Jesus. And what is important to the king is important. Period. And being baptized was of first importance to King Jesus. And it should be no less important to those who follow him, to us today. We cannot not teach baptism. You can't pretend that it doesn't exist in scriptures. It is so important, important to Jesus, important enough for the Trinity to be there, important enough that it was prophesied, important enough that he would do this. It's important to the king. It's important to us. It was important to Johnny. Or maybe you know Johnny's story, but Johnny wanted to be a minister, so what he did to preach was he got all the cats together in the backyard. Did you hear the story? Okay, it's probably not true. But he got it together. He got these cats in the backyard, and then he just started preaching to the cats. And his mom's like, oh, isn't that so cute? Johnny's preaching to the cats. He's going to be a preacher someday. And she goes back, you know, into the living room. She's kind of doing our things, and then all of a sudden, she hears this, ah! It's just this cat's going ballistic outside. So she's like, oh no, what is Johnny doing to the cats? So she runs outside, and sure enough, Johnny is baptizing the cat in a tub of water. Poosh, you know, poosh, you know, and the cat's freaking out. Bee! You know, and she's, Johnny, stop, stop, stop. Don't you know that the cats are afraid of water? Don't do that. And Johnny says, well, then he should have thought of that before he joined my church. Look, when it comes to baptism, you know, we get all kinds of crazy ideas. There's all kinds of ways out there and things out there. So it's so important. It's so important that we stick to what the Bible says. The Bible way for the Bible reasons. Baptism, King Jesus style. That's where we need to go. So I want to take just a couple minutes because baptism is important to the king. And we need to look, just quickly look at some reasons that we should be baptized. Number one, we should be baptized because Christ said so. He commanded it, he did it, and he is king. If you love him, you follow him. King Jesus said so. Number two, it is a physical, visible expression of our faith in Jesus. Faith requires action. And I love how God loves symbols. He loves us to take action, and he gives us a way to do that with baptism. Number three, we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're baptized to die to our old self and rise again to walk and live in a new life for Jesus. He makes it clear in our mission statement. Jesus says, Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, we've said it a million times, but Jesus says it, go and make disciples of all nations, what? Baptizing them. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He brings the Trinity right into it. Baptizing them. Jesus' command. He said so, and he is king. John chapter 5, chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, Jesus. And Nicodemus is asking these questions about how to be born again, how to get into the kingdom of God. And he answers, "Very truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again of the water and of the Spirit." The water and the Spirit. There's this symbolism, this physical act of faith in Jesus. 1 Peter, the apostle, he writes in his letter, chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, "This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body." It's not about the water, but a pledge of a clear conscience towards God. And Peter says this, baptism, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, not the baptism itself, but the resurrection of Jesus and understanding who he is and what you're doing. But baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. So what do we do? Going back, again, the Apostle Peter, Acts chapter 2, he's preaching to the masses, and they realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the King of Kings, and they had seen him crucified, and they were responsible for it. The audience there understood who Jesus was. And they say, "What do we do?" And Peter answers, "Repent, turn around, change, give your life to him, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." We are baptized so we will be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter makes it clear. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, the Apostle Paul, listen to these words. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Fulfill all right his death. We were therefore," verse 4, "we were therefore buried with him, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Paul is marrying this whole idea of being buried and living a new life for Jesus in one simple act, baptism. It's a way for us to die to our old self and come up out of that water a brand new person to live for Jesus. So how do we do this? How is baptism done? What does the Bible say about doing it? We know some of the reasons why. How does baptism happen? And the Bible is very clear. The Greek word for baptism is the word baptizo. Baptizo. It means to emerge or to submerge or to plunge underneath. Specifically, and unless otherwise stated, baptism is always immersion underwater. And it's done whenever a person becomes a Christ follower. So how is baptism done? By burying somebody in the water, just as the scriptures teach. It's also done to follow the example and the command of Jesus, who was baptized underwater and came up out of the water. It was also done to follow the example and the command of the earliest Christ followers, the early church, especially in the book of Acts. There are no less than 8 conversions in the book of Acts, and each and every single time the person was baptized when they became a Christ follower. And who should be baptized? Who should be baptized in the, well, anyone and everyone who finally or understands that God's plan of salvation is for them, and they are ready to put their faith in Jesus once and for all and forever. Baptism is for those who want to live with Jesus Christ as their King. So conversely, and maybe you have one of these experiences as well, but if you've been sprinkled, if you've been sprinkled, it's a different Bible word for that. It's not baptizo, it's the word rantizo. So I don't know, raise your hand if you've been sprinkled, or if you were sprinkled at some point in your life, maybe as a little baby or something like that. Yep, my hand is raised as well. Rantizo, if this is your experience, then you have been rantized in a church somewhere. And not to offend or to discount your life experience, but it's not a biblical Jesus-style baptism. See, unless you've been immersed fully in water, you've not been baptized. You've been rantized, but not baptized. And as I mentioned, this was my experience growing up. It's, you know, kind of, it's my story too. I forgot about that. You know, so many times people tell me and say that, you know, that they were baptized as a baby. And I was told that too. The truth is I was rantized. I was sprinkled. And yeah, those pictures, that cute little baby grew up to be me. All right. So I don't know how that happened. But and actually, I gotta tell you, I don't think my mom knew I was going to do this today. But my mom is actually here in worship this morning. And I want to take a side note. that beautiful thing. Thank you, Mom, for having me. And that is a christening gown in the middle. But I got to tell y'all, thank you. Just about 4 months ago, y'all were praying for my mom like crazy. She's come all the way down here from Georgia. She had just come out of a massive heart surgery, and we didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And y'all have been praying for her and praying for her. She got in her car and drove all the way down here for Christmas. So, you know, just thanks for doing that. Yep. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, my parents, you know, they told me that as a baby, and when I was sprinkled, when I was christened, or wherever you grew up calling it, I didn't have faith. I didn't have faith in Jesus. I didn't repent of my sinful life. I never confessed Him as Lord. I didn't understand. Do you know why? Because I was a baby. I couldn't even talk. My parents, man, they had great intentions, and I love them for that. And, you know, we never went to church, you know, growing up. We didn't really live for Jesus, but I really appreciate and I understand and know that this really kind of helped set the foundation of my life, because they did believe in Jesus. And this dedication, this time as even a baby, helped kind of set the foundation for that. But I wasn't baptized, not yet. And at age 16, I came face to face with Jesus and His people. And I was kind of cool living with that. You know, I was kind of a believer, you know, and now I'm going to church and I'm kind of figuring all this stuff out. It was kind of like dating Jesus, you know, like kind of like, hey, I'm cool with Him and He's cool with me and we're getting to know each other and I'm having these talks. But I'm not real sure that I'm ready to commit yet, you know, to go all in. But I did believe in Him, and I kind of just wanted to date Him a while before I sealed the deal. And I was nervous, just like some of y'all can relate to this, you know, every Sunday. It's like, I don't know if this is going to be the day or not, you know, whatever. But I wasn't sure about the commitment. I wasn't sure about the marriage. But if I wanted to spend eternity with the one who loved me enough to die for me, then I had to love Him enough to make a choice once and for all and forever. The choice to give my life to Him. And my choice was that He would be my King and my Savior. And my belief turned into true faith. And actually, it's funny. I thought I had to break into the Smithsonian to get this, but here's that actual. Mom, you know I still had this. This is my christening gown right here. It's kind of, I don't fit in this anymore, but it's kind of cool. I don't remember that day. Got a little souvenir, but I do remember this day. July 24th, 1983, is the day that I gave my life to Jesus once and for all and was baptized into Him. I said goodbye to the old Joe. He was buried and put to death forever and came up out of that water a brand new person to live for Jesus. And this is just a certificate. It's a souvenir of what God actually has done and has done in my life, just like many, many of you today. I got married to the King. I turned my life over to Him. And when I did that, I said goodbye to my old self. Yes, sounds like a wedding. Said goodbye to my old life. I said vows out loud to Him. Jesus died for me and I would live for Him. He is the Christ, the Son of God, my King now and forever. So I just want to submit to you and just kind of propose to you today that if you take Jesus and if you take the Bible seriously, please consider being baptized the Bible way for Bible reasons, to be plunged and buried under the water in baptism and then raised with Jesus to live a new life in Christ. The New Testament is so clear. Paul says, Colossians chapter 2, that we've been buried with him in baptism, buried with him in which you were also raised with him through your faith. Faith, essential faith, is what saves us. But in the working of God, he says, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I love that Paul says this, because sometimes people say, you know, baptism is a work. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is not a work. Baptism is a response to the work that's already been done through Jesus Christ on the cross for you and I. God did the work. God sent his son. His son died on the cross, rose from the dead. God does the work when we get in that baptistry. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in new life. God's the one who does the work. We respond and then we come into partnership with him and work alongside of him and with him. Inside of us. Man, God works in us who raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 2, Matthew 3:16, Jesus was baptized himself. He comes up out of the water. No rantism there. That is a baptism. Acts chapter 2, those who accepted Peter's message right there in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says they accepted his message and were baptized 3,000 strong that day. Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God in Christ. Through faith, faith, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Paul, again, marries these ideas of faith, baptism. They go together. And when you do that, you are clothed with Christ. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So I got to tell you this story, and some of you were there. It's 13 years ago, 2005. The month was June 26th, and I had just come to CCW. Some of y'all might remember this, up in Building B, and I'm preaching my very first sermon here. You'd think I was nervous, but I'm preaching my first sermon in front of y'all, and I actually was preaching on this passage, Galatians chapter 3, and I had this, you know, this cool movie clip from the movie Incredibles. You know, you guys love that movie, and I'm talking about being clothed with Christ, and I'm just kind of getting into it. You know, I'm still kind of charged up. And I wasn't 10 minutes into my message, and this dude comes walking down the aisle right then. Like, I'm like, what's going on here? And Buddy Palmer, are you here today? I don't know. He was out of town for a while, but I don't know if Buddy's here or not. But some of y'all know Buddy. Man, it was Buddy. Buddy Palmer. He's walking down the aisle, and I'm thinking at this point, somebody's trying to get me. This is a prank. Somebody in the office has set this up. They're just waiting to see if I'm going to crack. You know, like, they're putting me up to this, my first sermon, you know, kind of thing. And he gets closer and closer. You know, I'm kind of, all right, what's going on here? I'm waiting for him to crack. I'm waiting for him any minute, and I'll, you know, kind of smile, and I'm waiting. I'm going, come on, you know, what's up? And as he gets closer and closer, I kind of get a hold of him, and I said, what's going on here? You know, are you serious? He goes, yes, I'm serious. I want to be baptized right now. I'm like, right now? Are you serious? Like, yeah, right now. Are you sure? And then I look over to my left, and Dave Pardue, our pastor, is sitting right there. And Dave's like, I didn't do it. I'm just not me. You know, I'm like, are you sure? Because I took him, you know, I'm listening, and I'm go, all right, well, okay, now I'm finally bought in. And I'm like, okay, buddy. Hey, buddy wants to be baptized. And everybody, you know, okay, awesome, cool. I said, if you would just wait a minute. And Dave gives me the nod, and I kind of walk him over there, and he sits down next to Dave, and they begin to talk and have a conversation. I finish my message, and that day, right after the sermon, right at the end of the service, Buddy Palmer was baptized into Christ. He gave his life to him once and for all and forever. I said, why'd you do that? He said, I heard the word, and I knew what I needed to do. And I didn't want to wait another minute for that to happen. And he did it that day. And some of y'all know Buddy, man. He is a man of God. He loves the Lord. And he tells that story a whole lot better than I do, so you need to ask him. But it's just so cool. So when I hear these questions, do I need to be baptized? You know, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? I just want to point to the Bible. Man, these aren't my words. These are God's words. I want to point to the Bible. I want to point to Jesus. It just point to my heart and point to your heart. Say, what is God saying to you? Not your parents with all due respect and honor them, but not to your parents, not to your grandparents, not to the church tradition that you grew up in. What does the Bible say, and what is God saying to you? You know, the better questions to ask are, do I believe in Jesus? And do I want to follow him as king of my life, now and forever? Better question. Better question, what is stopping me from being baptized? Is it fear? Pride? Maybe you're just not sure, you have questions. What's stopping you from being baptized? And that's why we're here. That's why we're here to talk and to study and to grow together. That's why your small group leader and myself and our elders, your friend who invited you here today. That's what we're here to do, to help answer those questions. How soon can I get baptized? That's a great question. But how soon? Not how long can I wait, or how much more can I sin or do this or live my life before I... No, how soon can I get baptized? Great question. What decision will you make today? Best question of all. What decision will you make today, right now? Like Jesus did, like he said to do, like many in this room today have done. And if you're not sure, maybe your decision is just to start asking questions and to get into the Word. And I pray that you will. It's important to the King. It's important to you. Don't go to bed tonight without trying to figure this out, knowing who Jesus is and knowing what he's calling on your life. Maybe that's your decision today. Let's talk about it. Our leaders are here. Maybe you have questions. We can help. Again, I mentioned that there's a handout at our Next Step station. Do some studying. It's a 12-page document. I answer a lot of questions for you. But please decide something. What will you do with Jesus? And what will you do about this whole command and example of baptism? I have to ask you today, do you believe in him? Do you know that the King is here? The King has come and he is here and his name is Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe in him? Do you have faith in him? And prove it. Prove it. Take action. Repent. Turn your life over to him. Trust him with your life and live with him as king. Once for all, forever, confess him as king of your life and be baptized into Christ to be able to walk with him, not just today and tomorrow on this earth, but for all of eternity in heaven. And if you've been baptized, how are you doing? Can I just play John the Baptist for a minute? Maybe you're a religious runaway. Maybe you've just kind of gotten away from God. Maybe you've just kind of become that man or that woman who said, you know, maybe later I'll start living for him. Maybe today is the day to repent. Say, no. I know who he is, and he is the king, and I'm going to live for him. The kingdom of God is at hand. The king is here. Live like it. Live like it with your choices. Live like it with the things that you do, the way that you act, the things that we do. One thing, there's no better time than right now today as we get ready for 2019 to start, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. No better time than now to say, you know what? Starting now, starting today, this year, one thing that I'm gonna do, maybe that I've never done before for Jesus. Maybe it is give your life to him and be baptized. Maybe it's to decide to read your Bible once a day or to pray a little bit more. Maybe it's to talk to someone about Christ. Prove it. Get out there. Do what you need to do. The kingdom of God is at hand. Live like it. Repent. Turn around today. Today. Or maybe today there's someone in your life that you could pray for. Or maybe today there's someone that you know that needs to give their life to Christ and be baptized. Maybe today you can write their name down and begin to pray for them and make that step and open your mouth and be able to share and love and serve in a way that they would come to know Jesus. And maybe someday soon, maybe even today, you'll be in that water or your swimming pool or maybe not the River Jordan. That's a long way to go, but we got the Weeki Wachee right down the street. And maybe you'll be in that water giving your life to Jesus once and for all, forever, to be forgiven of your sins and to live eternally with him. Or maybe you'll be in the water with someone you love, baptizing them in the name of Jesus so that they can have new life like you have new life today, tomorrow, and for all of eternity. Today is your day. If I can answer any questions, I'll be here. Our elders, our leaders will be here, our prayer team up front. Please don't leave today without talking if you have questions. And as you leave today, let me just have a word of prayer with you. In fact, let's stand together and let's pray. Or just give our lives to Him in a new and exciting way as we enter into the new year. And as you leave, you'll be dismissed. Let's pray today. Father God, we love you so much. And in the name of Jesus, God, by the power of your Spirit, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to you and you alone. God, I know there's so many voices and so many ideas and so many traditions and so many just things in our mind that might be telling us, no, 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 not now, not now. God, I pray that you would come in your Spirit and overpower all those thoughts. And God, I pray that we would be able to respond to you and to your voice, to your word. Make it come alive in our lives by the power of your Spirit today. And I pray that we would live for you like never before, and maybe for someone today, that they would live for you starting today to give their life to you, to turn from their old life and to be baptized into Christ, to confess you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and walk out of here a brand new person. And for all of us who know you, Lord, I pray that today, God, as we think about our lives and do an inventory, maybe on some things we want to do different, maybe some sin that we want to leave behind, God, I pray that you would give us the strength and the power, the accountability, whatever it takes, God, change us. Because we want to live for you. Your kingdom is at hand. We know that you are King. You are here. We give our lives to you. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Amen.